Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And once again, while you're finding the place, my thanks to David and to May for the invitation to be with you and for the hospitality and the fellowship that we enjoyed in their home today. Thank you both, and the Lord bless you all richly indeed. Good to be with you. And the Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 1, please. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God judge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's an amazing statement. When the Son of Man comes back to this earth, will he find faith on the earth? And of course, the faith is that faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. And it's that faith for which we are to contend boldly. And while we contend boldly for the faith, always remember, dear Christian, you're not called upon to be contentious. You're to preach the truth. You're to uplift Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work of conviction in the hearts and souls of men. For salvation is of the Lord. You and I cannot create one anxious thought. We must leave the salvation of souls to our wonderful Lord and Saviour, who is able to save to the uttermost all that will come unto God through faith in him. For it's the way of the cross leads home. And there's no other way but this. The gates of light we will ne'er gain sight if the way of the cross we miss. And again, brother and sisters, let me say that in these days, when men and women are turning from the true faith, that faith that was once for all delivered to the saints, when they're turning away from the good news, from the gospel of Christ, which teaches us that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that after he rose from the dead, he showed himself to be alive with many infallible proofs. For 40 days he taught his disciples concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And he also promised them that he would return. He ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high. Almost 2,000 years have passed from he ascended back to glory, and he said that he will return again, and he that shall come will come, and thank God he will not tarry. But when he does return, will he find faith on the earth? Brothers and sisters, except these days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Our nation, our beloved nation, seems to me to be turning away from God. We are becoming more anti-Christian and more anti-God as the days go by. Christianity seems to be put to the side, and false religions seem to be growing and given the preeminence. And even virtues and the way people want to live life, it seems that they can live whatever way they like, And if a Christian gets up and says it's not right to live contrary to the word of God and to the will of God, immediately he's classified as a bigot. And immediately he's shouted down. And immediately he is called all kinds of things. So it's not easy to take your stand for Christ in these days. Because, dear friends, when Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? But until that moment, let us take our stand for him. Let us pin our colours to the mast and let men and women know that we belong to Christ and not be ashamed of him. Thank God we're not ashamed of Christ. Thank God we trust in him and we believe in him and we're on the victory side. The devil knows his time is short. And the devil's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's blinding the minds of men and women, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. The devil wants to keep men and women in darkness. And if he can keep them in darkness, and he can keep them from coming to the light, as Christ is in the light, well then, dear friends, he can lead those souls into eternal darkness. And what a terrible condition that is. Oh, that God in these last of the last days would send us a mighty revival. Oh, that he would raise up a band of men and women whose hearts the Lord hath touched, who fear nothing but God, and hate nothing but sin, and love none but the souls of men. And I tell you this, we could see a great work done in these days. May God be pleased in his love and grace and mercy to send revival and save precious souls. Are we praying to this end? And then the Lord continues and he says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And the words of our Lord Jesus Christ spoken those 2,000 years ago are as relevant today. Because there are certain men and women walking about today on their trust in themselves. That they are righteous. That they don't need anyone else. And they don't need to be saved. That they're good enough. Let me tell you, it's a lie from hell. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that doeth righteous. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need to repent and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spake of certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. You know, it is highly possible that we will come up against this kind of thing in our Christian witness and testimony. That men and women will turn from us and despise us because we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts and seek to serve him. And then he said in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, or a tax collector, if you like. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. How he despised this man. I fast twice a week and give tithes of all that I possess. Here's a man. He comes into the temple and he stands before God in his own self-righteousness. And he prays thus with himself. And I believe that there's a lot of formal prayers that's offered today. But that's all they are, formal prayers. And they're prayed by rote. And they're all written out. And nothing seems to come from the heart. Nothing seems to come from within. There's nothing spontaneous. There's nothing comes from a heart of love to Christ for what he hath done for us. And this Pharisee, he stood, and in his self-righteousness, he prayed within himself. He's only praying to himself. He's standing in his pride. And in his pride, he's praying within himself. What a way to pray. God is not in his thoughts, really. He's just praying within himself. And you know, pride was the snare that the devil fell into. And pride is the snare that this Pharisee has fallen into. And he goes as far as to thank God that he's not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Oh, and I can almost see him looking with a look of distrust, with a look of bitterness, as he looks sideways at this publican. I am not as this publican. My dear friends, this old book tells me that all have sinned, Pharisees and publicans, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one, that the whole world is guilty before God. But here's a man and he doesn't acknowledge his guilt. He says he fasts twice a week and he gives tithes of all that I possess. You see, he's a religious Pharisee. And please, don't forget that. He's a man of reputation in his society. And also remember this, that he was not an atheist. He believed there was a God, all right. He was religious. And he would be the equivalent of the nominal churchgoer today. Religious, a nominal Christian, a churchgoer, held in reputation, and was proud of his own self-righteousness. Proud of his religious works. Proud of what he'd done. And it's all I. Look at what he says in verse 11. I thank thee. I am not as other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all. I possess. It's all I. It's I. I and more eyes. Little did he know that he was separated from God. Little did he know that he was travelling a broad road going down to eternal destruction, that he was at enmity with God, that his back was toward God, and he was going further and further away from God. Yes, he was self-righteous. He was going about as a Pharisee, a self-righteous Pharisee, seeking to establish his own righteousness, which is by the law, but had not submitted himself to the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Christ. Brethren and sisters, this is serious. He was self-exalting. He exalted himself. He was like the man in the little rhyme who said, he's called Little Jack Horner, who sat in his corner eating his plum pudding or whatever it was. And he put in his thumb and he pulled out a plum and he said, oh, what a good boy am I. Yeah. He's parading his own self-righteousness.
He's parading his own goodness.
He's parading his own religious activities.
And little did he know he was separated from God, that he was afar off from God, that his sins had separated between him and his God so that God wouldn't hear him. Now, how do I know that? I'll show you it in a moment or two. And friends, he uses this word I five times, as we have said. Here's a man, depending upon his own self-righteousness, upon his own goodness. And I have come across men and women like that today in our society in Ulster. Privileged Ulster. Privileged with the gospel. With many mighty preachers down through the years, preach the gospel and won souls to Christ. But we seem to be drifting and drifting further and further away from the truth of the gospel. And men have joined societies. They have joined organizations. And we have no need of Christ. And we don't want the gospel. Yes, we have heard these things. We have been told these things to our face. I don't need any Jesus Christ to die for me. I'm good enough. I get to heaven my own way. And little does he know that he's going into eternity dead in trespasses and sin, only to stand before God at the great white judgment, throne of judgment, and to hear the risen Christ, who died to be the Saviour of the world, who is now the judge of the world, and said, apart from me, I never knew you. Friend, these are solemn things. And here's a man who didn't realize his deep, dire, desperate need. He needed to repent. He needed to put his faith and trust in the Saviour of sinners. But he's content to go his own way, to do his own thing. And sadly, his own way and his own thing will take him into a lost eternity. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right to the Muslim. There's a way that seems right to the Hindu. There's a way that seems right to the Confucianist. There's a way that seems right to the Mormon. There's a way that seems right to the Romanist. There's a way that seems right to the nominal Protestant. But these ways are all the ways of death. When you gather them all together, they're the ways of death. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Let me show you this now. This other man that the Lord Jesus talks about. And this publican that the Pharisee despised, who said, I'm not like him. I'm a better man than he is. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he's not praying within himself. He's praying directly to God. And what's he praying for? He's praying for mercy. He's praying for mercy. He's praying that God may come and be merciful to him, the sinner. It's a great thing, you know, in the life of any man or woman or young person, when they come to realize that in the sight of a holy God, they're sinners. And that they need a Savior. And that Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Savior could say, I am come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And this was the reason that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. That he might redeem sinners through the shedding of his own precious blood at the place called Calvary. Ah, what you say, the problem with many men and women today is they don't acknowledge that they're sinners. They're far too proud. They're like this Pharisee. They're too proud to bow the knee and confess their sins. They won't acknowledge their need. Some are far too rich. They're depending upon their riches to get them to heaven. And some are far too superstitious. You remember when Paul stood in Mars Hill, when he spoke to the Athenians, and he surveyed the whole pantheon of idols, and then they had an image to the unknown God in case they had left one out. And Paul says to them, men of Athens, as I behold all your images and your idols, on this image to the unknown God, him I declare unto you, for I perceive that you're all too superstitious. Now he didn't say you're all too religious, as some of the new translations have it. Paul didn't have to tell them that they were religious. Sure, all their actions and all their idols and all their images declared them to be religious. Ah, but behind the idols, let me tell you this, dear friends, are demons. Behind them all is the God of this world, and principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, and behind all the idolatry, demons are working. And friend, men become superstitious. And the Athenians were superstitious. They were afraid of offending some God that they didn't know about. And let me tell you, even today, men are superstitious. Let me tell you that they have their charms and they have their bracelets. And many of them today still have their images and their idols. Yes, men will bow down and worship images. It is said when Gandhi was leaving England to go back to India, he was on board ship. And remember, this man was university educated in England, in the best universities. And he's going back to India, and out on the deck of the ship, what's he doing? He's bowing before an image and an idol. Listen, friends. You can have all the education that you like, and you can still be an idolater. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, and it's the man Christ Jesus. And friend, the Lord Jesus Christ saith concerning this publican, and he was standing afar off, and he was spiritually afar off, for he was far off in his sins. And he would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he needed the mercy of God. But what a wonderful confession. And you can see his condition. He's afar off from God. Far off from God. He's at enmity with God. He's abiding under the wrath of God. But you know, he recognizes his deep, dire, desperate need. And we see his contrition when he says that he would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. He was afraid to lift his eyes heavenward. And you can see his conviction. He smote upon his breast. And then you have his confession. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And thank God you've got his conversion. Jesus Christ said, this man went down to his house justified. Just as if he had never sinned. Justified by faith. By faith alone. Beloved, that's how we are saved today, you know. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And in the finished work of the Redeemer alone. And I need no other argument. And I seek no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. There's a lovely little story told about a judge who was overseeing a case. A terrible crime had been committed. Several men were held on suspicion. All were involved in the deed, but only one was guilty of the actual crime, and none would make an admission of guilt. The judge in the case had all the men stand before him in a line, and he stood in the front of each man, placed a stethoscope on his chest, listened to the heartbeat while looking into his eyes. The judge pointed out the guilty man and received a confession from him. And when we face the Lord Jesus Christ with our guilt, there will be no way that we can cover our sins and get by undetected. It cannot be done. Moses declared in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, as this man, this publican, stands afore off, not even lifting his eyes to heaven, and smiting his breast, and under deep conviction of sin and his deep need of Christ, he cries, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I know that we would need to hear men and women pray that again today. I want you to think of this publican just for a moment. Here's a man, and I want to tell you what he knew. And he knew what the Pharisee didn't know. This publican knew that he was a sinner. And he took his place before a holy God. And he confessed his sin. And he knew that he was at a distance from God. He knew he was afar off. That his sins had separated between him and his God. So God wouldn't hear him. God doesn't hear the formal prayers of the religious. His ear is ever opened for the cry of repentance and confession of sin. Friends, it's then you become a child of God. You become a child of God, a child of the King, when you put your faith and trust in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's then you learn to pray. And pray with prayer. And you pray prayers that God will hear and answer. Because you're a new creation in Christ. old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This publican knew that he was a sinner. The Pharisee didn't know that. This publican knew where he was, that he was at a distance from God. He knew how he felt, and he felt ashamed of his sinful and wicked life. There was no pretense, and there was no falsehood in this man. He didn't even dare to lift his eyes heavenward. But he's smiting on his breast. And he knew what he needed. Let me tell you, friend, he needed mercy. He needed a propitiatory sacrifice that would deal with his sin. And bless God that we have a propitiatory sacrifice. And thank God we find it in the lovely Son of God, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say unto you at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him that believes in Christ. Where then is boasting? Where's your Pharisaic boasting? I'll tell you, friend, it's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by our good works. But when we put our faith and trust in Christ alone, then our life should be characterized by good works. We do not become saints by saintly living. But because we are called to be saints through faith in Christ, then our lives should be characterized by saintly living. Do you see it? Isn't that wonderful? Beloved, listen, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God we can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What does the word propitiation mean? It just simply means satisfaction. And on the cross, Christ shed his blood. And he satisfied every righteous demand of God against sin. God is satisfied with the work of his Son, that he raised him from the dead and has sat him at his own right hand. Friend, he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again on that current of our justification. And the resurrection of Christ to the right hand of the Majesty on high is the proof that we're saved, we're justified, and we're declared righteous in Christ. And upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all eternally. Friends, sink or swim, it's Christ for me, and Christ alone. I trust him. And I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Do you think will he feel me? Bless God, he won't. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, never ever perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, nor out of my Father's hand, who is greater than all. That's why I'm not depending on my own self-righteousness. I'm not depending on my christening. I'm not depending on confirmation. I am not depending on any church. I am depending on Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so, friends, let me show you this. He needed mercy. He needed a propitiation. And he knew where to get it. And the only place that he could get it was God. Our God's a merciful God. Our God's a loving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He knew that he needed mercy. He knew the place to get mercy. And that was at God's throne of grace. And thank God he knew that he had got it. Why? Because Jesus Christ said he went down to his house justified. Justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Can you see the difference between these two men? The Pharisee went up into the temple, prating about his own righteousness, his own self-righteous standards, despising men like the publicans, boasting in his fasting, in his tithe giving, boasting in what he was within himself. And friend, he left the environs of the temple and he went to his home, still the same man that he was when he came in. But the publican who came in and confessed his sins, he went home justified. He went home a child of God. Brethren and sisters, you can come into this meeting. You can be like the Pharisee, too proud, too rich, too superstitious. But you can become too careless. You can hear the gospel and turn your back on it. And you can spurn the grace of God and trample the precious blood of Christ under your feet, counting it an unholy thing, that you don't need the blood of Christ to redeem you and save you. But then when you go out into the darkness of eternity, it will be too late. The door will be shut. And you'll stand banging on the outside as the fires of judgment are falling. Lord, Lord, open unto us, save us, help us. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And friend, it'll be too bad for you then, won't it? Too bad. I beseech you, with all the love that I can muster, repent and trust in Christ. He died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He was seen of many. Friend, the resurrection of Christ is an irrefutable fact. Jesus Christ lives. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that will come unto God through faith in him. Will you come tonight? Will you come at this moment? Will you bow your head and will you cry with the publican, Lord Jesus, save me, the sinner, and go home to your house justified, a new creature in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you again for the message of the cross. We do thank thee that it's the way of the cross leads home. And the way of the cross leads home because Christ himself said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we do thank thee that men and women who put their faith and trust in him will be saved. We thank thee that there's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee, then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him that was nailed to the tree. And the moment that you call, thank God, he'll save you. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What assurance. What a great salvation. But Lord, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we go on in our own self-righteousness, in our own pride, denying that we need Christ, then on the day of judgment, how shall we escape the judgment of God? O God, give deciding grace. Turn men and women away from looking inward, from looking to self, and to look to Jesus Christ alone. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Christ must be lifted up, and we must be saved through faith in him. We must be born again. And O God, we look to thee to do your own work tonight. Save sinners. Bless the saved. Glorify your name. Separate as we pray in your fear and with your richest blessing. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. 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 Amen.